many years ago as Armistice Day. And it commemorated the end of World War I. And of course, World War I at the time was known as the Great War, the war to end all wars. And it officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, in the Palace of Versailles outside, as you might imagine, the town of Versailles, France. However, fighting had ceased actually 7 months earlier when an armistice or temporary cessation of hostilities between the Allied nations and Germany went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. So for that reason, November 11th, 1918 is generally regarded as the end of the war that everybody thought would end all wars. So in November 1919, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day with these words: "To us in America, the reflection of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations. It was to be celebrated with parades and events in public places." Now, the United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War I when it passed a concurrent resolution on June 4, 1926, with the following words. Whereas, you can tell attorneys had something to do with this, can't you? Whereas, nothing against attorneys. I heard they really are good down deep. That's why they bury them 12 feet in Texas. But anyway, whereas, the 11th of November, 1918, marked the cessation of the most destructive, sanguinary, and far-reaching war in human annals and the resumption by the people of the United States of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed. And whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of this date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations. And whereas the legislatures of 27 of our states have already declared November 11th to be a legal holiday, therefore be it resolved by the Senate, the House of Representatives concurring, that the President of the United States is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the officials to display the flag of the United States on all government buildings on November 11th and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools and churches and other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other peoples. And on May 13th, 1938, it was declared a legal holiday. Then came World War II, the Korean War, and Congress removed the word armistice and inserted the word veterans. So as of June 1st, 1954, it became a day to honor veterans of all wars. And on June 28th, 1968, you may recall, there was a Uniform Holiday Act, and so it was decided that Veterans Day would actually be celebrated, like along with Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, and Labor Day, on the Monday nearest the official November 11th date. And so it was observed that way for the first time on October 25th, 1971. But the day had such historical and patriotic significance that in 1978, it was put back to November 11th, no matter what day of the week on which that might fall. We're here today, and as a country, tomorrow we will honor those veterans, hopefully, and I know around the country there will be parades, and people will be called to remembrance and to realize and to appreciate the sacrifice that many of these men and women have made. Now, Memorial Day is the day we remember those who gave their lives, but this is the day we remember those who made perhaps that sacrifice and maybe not quite the ultimate, but have given of their time and their talents and their lives and their families in service to this country. But today is the Lord's Day. Today is a day, In fact, if you go back, and as most scholars would say it, on May 28th, 30 AD, a proclamation went out that the former religion of God's people was fulfilled and that everyone should recognize Jesus as their example and leader in the war against Satan. On that date, as recorded by Luke in Acts chapter 2 with Peter's sermon beginning at verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. And we drop down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. They were supposed to submit to him in obedience. You read on down in verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter answered and said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's that? This proclamation went out about 30 A.D., and yes, I realize we recognize 33 A.D. traditionally and have as the beginning of the church, but in reality, we know there was a problem in the Gregorian calendar. It was about 3 years off, and so actually the church was founded around 30 A.D., and if you back it up, and best we can from calendars and so on, this would have been proclaimed on or about May the 28th on 30 A.D. Christ, at that point, no longer Moses, no longer the law and the prophets, now it is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is to be the captain for the Lord's armies. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, that in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings. However, very much like the proclamation of Veterans Day and the proclamation of the end of World War I and so on, in reality, the work had already been done. 50 days earlier, on April the 7th, 30 A.D., when Jesus gave His life and fulfilled His purpose. You recall back in John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished as He's hanging on the cross, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to His mouth. So when Jesus had received the wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. Though the proclamation was issued 50 days later, the sacrifice had already been accomplished when Jesus gave His life on the cross. And as a remembrance of that sacrifice, there was something created for us. A special day was established that we should honor Jesus' heroism, His bravery, His commitment, and the love that He exhibited in literally leaving heaven. Just thinking about that will blow the mind. Leaving the place that we're dedicating our lives to get to, He left that voluntarily, came to this sin-cursed earth, lived not in royalty or wealth, but in reality an impoverished financially life. Pretty much an itinerant traveling preacher who had no place of his own even to lay his head. And when ultimately his life was to be given 33 and a half years after he came into this life, all he had apparently of value was the cloak. And Roman soldiers gambled to figure out who was going to get that. He did that for me and for you. He came and he waged that war personally against Satan. And through his sacrifice at Calvary and his undisputed victory then, 3 days later, is what we remember and what we, if you will, commemorate or celebrate. You can go to the book of Mark, chapter 16, and I had all this marked, and then I dropped my Bible. I'm a genius. In Mark chapter 16, we'll begin at verse 2, very early in the morning. On the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. This is the women. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they had said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They had a very hard time, as you might imagine. And I think it's interesting, on a side note, that the angel told these folks, go tell his disciples and Peter. This is evidence of the unbelievable love and forgiving heart of our Lord and Savior, the captain of the armies of heaven, Jesus Christ. The last thing that Peter had done, that Jesus saw, because Luke says, after that third denial, Jesus looked at him. Peter is waiting, and he is in obvious remorse, I have no doubt. He went out and wept bitterly. He's got to be asking himself, what does Jesus think of me? He told me I was going to betray him. I told him, that's crazy, I'd die first. And lo and behold, what did I do? I did exactly what he said I would do, because I'm a coward. I was afraid, and I was with the wrong crowd at the wrong time. And he saw me, and then he died. I never had a chance to let him know how sad. I wonder if he still considers me a disciple. And so Jesus had this special messenger tell the ladies, you'll get his disciples, and especially Peter. That was God's way of letting him know, Peter, it's going to be okay. I know you're penitent. I forgive you. I still consider you one of my own. And of course, then, as we noted from Acts 2, he was the one whose sermon that day God chose through inspiration to have Luke record when the proclamation went out that Jesus Christ would now be the leader of the armies of heaven. See, it's not just celebrated, or it's not celebrated with parades, not the death of Christ, but with a memorial that he himself established prior to his death. We're very familiar with Matthew 26:26-29, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Again, this day, the Lord's day, was the day of celebration was given concerning this memorial. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And on the first day of the week, those disciples in Troas came together to break bread, to observe the Lord's Supper. So we're told by Christ Himself prior to the sacrifice what it would, how it would be done, what it would consist of. And then we're informed by biblical example of the day, no doubt, upon which that observance was to take place. Some folks today, even in the Lord's Church and other religions, have tried to change the day of celebration, the day of observance, if you will. But the day has such historical and spiritual significance that doing so only causes confusion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, we're told that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. We have been told what we are to do to commemorate the victory of our captain. We have been told when we are to commemorate the victory of our captain. See, other folks, you recall, we already mentioned in the beginning, Congress at one point changed the day of celebration of Memorial Day. And rightly so, veterans were up in arms. Because this day wasn't just something. It was a day. And that day mattered. Because people gave of themselves. Many gave their lives. It mattered. And so it was put back to where it was originally started. Now, a lot of folks in the world today have tried to change the day of commemorating Christ's death and His great sacrifice. Some want to do it on Saturday night. Some want to include it in funerals. Some want to put it in a wedding. But just like veterans in the 70s were upset and up in arms when Congress changed that day, veterans in the Lord's Army should be up in arms and upset that people try to change the day of the memory of the event that makes eternal life, forgiveness, and the church possible. It must matter to us. What men and women have done in defense of our country matters to this country as well it should. In fact, I get concerned sometimes. I hear folks, and it's not, I'm not age biased, but a lot of times it's younger folks, those of us, and I'm a baby boomer, but I never served. There were no war. I just was registering for the draft at the end of the Vietnam War, and by the time, you know, and so there are so many of us now, an entire couple of generations that have been raised that unless we volunteered for the military, we never served. And I'm afraid that we're losing our appreciation for those that did. But even more critical than that, the concern is that God's people are losing the appreciation for what Christ did. Without His sacrifice, without His valor, without His commitment, His courage, His bravery, His heroism, we would not be here and we would have no hope in the hereafter. See, one day, after all those that have, one day all those that have fought in the spiritual warfare against the powers of Satan will have a day that honors them. And that honor, that parade, that celebration will never end. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Veterans in the Lord's army will be rewarded one day with an eternal parade and commemoration in heaven with God. How do I get into that army? Folks, we get into the Lord's army today the same way that I got into it in May of 30 AD. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin. And then verse 41 of that second chapter of Acts, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And then we go to verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. And we find in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the household or the family of God. And we read in Paul's writings, as we started in Ephesians 6, he uses the analogy of a soldier. Those who are in God's family, those who are members of God's Son's body, the church, over which Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22 and 23, He is the head, of which there is only one, Ephesians 4:4 and 5. Those people that are in God's family in that body are in His army. And we are to be outfitted with the army, the armor, the accoutrements of a heavenly spiritual soldier. That's how I get in God's army. That's how I am given the privilege to remember the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ and have it have true meaning in my life now and in the world to come. That is how I one day we'll hear the captain say, "Well done. Enter into the joys of your Lord." And here's the thing. I know there's been a lot of talk recently about, and many of you, some of you may have experienced, we have quite a few veterans here, and Tim will have more to say about that for a couple of minutes right at the end of the assembly. But I know that there's been talk about how that veterans are not being properly cared for. There's a lot of PTSD and a lot of issues that veterans have, and I understand that. And as frail and imperfect human beings, I'm hoping as a society we are doing our best. But I know even our best is nowhere near perfect. But the truth is, the veterans in God's army, He is perfect. And God takes care of His veterans. If you want to become one, by being born of the water and the Spirit, John 3:3-5, as Christ talked to Nicodemus that night many years ago in Palestine. There's water behind me, and we stand ready to assist in that. Or if as a member of God's army, perhaps my heroism, my commitment, my valor, my courage, my bravery has flagged a bit. And it will, because we're human. God knows that. So let's just commit to God and ourselves. As we remember tomorrow the unbelievable sacrifice that human beings have made in defense of other human beings and a way of life that we so appreciate and I get concerned take for granted. When we think about the unbelievable sacrifice that Christ made, I'll never live up to that perfection, but I am to strive to be like Him. So just let's make a commitment to our captain that we, to the best of our ability, through study and application with God's help, will do better. And if that commitment or anything else would be best served by public response, whatever the reason, then just come down front while we stand and sing.